traditional desk pop music. It almost...
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Living with Resurrection Power in an Evil Age.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about living with, as a Christian, resurrection power in the midst of a dark and evil age. If you remember last week, we talked about how there is resurrection power already behind us 2,000 years ago when Christ rose mightily from the dead on the third day. Also how there's great resurrection power in front of us in the future when Christ returns on the last day and he's going to raise us up in power, that is, our bodies. But also, we talked last week about how there's resurrection power also for us right now in our lives as Christians. And to illustrate that, I have these little figures. We had bigger ones last week. But remember, to begin with, we all started out dead, namely, dead in our sins, says the scriptures, dead in our trespasses. That's Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirits that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. And so when we were unbelievers and unsaved, we couldn't see, we had eyes not to see Jesus, we were blind, we had a mouth that didn't praise him, ears that didn't hear his word, hands that served only ourselves and our own empire, feet that walked in paths forbidden, and a heart of stone. But we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse, I think it's 3 or 5 or so, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When, to all who believed on him, Jesus gives the power to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're also raised in baptism. Good. Which is Colossians chapter 2, we read that you were buried with him by baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. So you are a resurrected, alive person, very different from what you once were. There is resurrection power already at work within you as a Christian. But today I'd like to look with you at what is it like, though, to live with resurrection power in the midst of a dark and an evil age between Christ's resurrection and his second coming? Let me ask, is it actually a dark and evil age that we're living in? Yes. You know, the world wants to say, we're beautiful, we're really pretty, this is really good, but the scriptures, God's word, has a different word on that and clear. We read in the scriptures that this is an evil age that Jesus delivered us from in Galatians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle against the world rulers of this present darkness. Jesus calls in this world in John chapter 7, he says, I testify of the world that its works are evil. And so this is a dark and an evil age in the course of history until Christ comes again, and then it's going to be light and bright day forevermore. But in the meantime, it's still nighttime. What are we supposed to be as resurrection power Christians in the midst of the dark and evil age? This era is, as Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, be blameless, innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as stars in the world. So if this is the night sky, according to God, there are stars in it, lights. The church is the light of the world. Your stars over here with resurrection power already at work inside of you. You're raised in your spirit and your inner man to live a powerful, victorious life in Christ. So what is it like to live as resurrection power people in the midst of a dark and evil age? What does that look like? Well, to begin with, let's say this. Is it a world of prosperity for us and peace and good? Actually, yeah. When you're resurrected, when you become a Christian, what's your life like? We hear that it is a good life. David says in Psalm 5 that God blesses the righteous. He covers us with his favor as with a shield. We hear in the Psalms that the steadfast love of the Lord is filling the earth. We hear in 1 Timothy 6 that God furnishes his people, Christians, with everything to enjoy. And it's a good life. It's a straight life. It's a clear life. Therefore, I drew this for you, a green arrow. It's straight. You're walking in the paths of the Lord in green because it's full of life, abundance, and many good things to enjoy. Great joy. But at the same time, is that all there is to the Christian life in this dark and evil age? What else do we have to fight or deal with, is we have to have battle. So you have a shield here, a crown. God's given to you a crown. He says, let no one steal your crown. And there's a clashing of swords. There must be troubles and difficulties, challenges, contentions, enemies, things that we have to fight as Christians. So let's talk about that today a little and see who do we have to fight with resurrection power in the midst of a dark and evil age on our way to the prize at the end, the coming of our Lord and the kingdom gifted to us. Well, the first person that we have to fight is a traitor within. Look at this. It's a dark, shadowy creature. Who do you think this refers to? Our own sinful nature, the sinister side of ourselves. Is there actually a dark side to each of us as Christians? Yeah. You know what? Before, it was only the dark side over here that we had, and that's the case with the unbelievers. But when we're raised in Christ and made alive in him, in Jesus Christ, by his grace and raised with resurrection power, this old nature that we used to have is dethroned. It's no longer in charge. It's defrocked. It's defeated in your life, but it's not yet entirely killed and gone and doesn't bother you anymore. Don't you feel that? As we live as Christians, we live a resurrected life. We go in the right way because there's someone new in charge, and let's put him up here. There is a Christian warrior. I have a picture here of Lancelot or a knight who is fighting. This is your new nature. It fights the old nature. Now, a lot of Christians, when we fight with our old nature, and even after being Christians for many years, we get really discouraged because we think, oh, I've been a Christian for a year, 20 years, 50 years, and I'm still wrestling with this. Well, that's what the scriptures teach is the way of the Christian in this dark and evil age. We have to fight the old sinful side of ourselves, the dark, sinister side, which is always going to linger around and cause trouble. Where do we read that in scripture? Romans chapter 7. Even Paul said this. He says, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my flesh, in my body, there's another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. He says, whenever I want to do the right thing, evil lies close at hand. I try to do the right thing, but a lot of times I'm going in the wrong way. Because this evil nature still tries to run the show. still tries to get on the throne again, still tries to ruin your life. And so we have to conquer by the new spirit that is within us. Peter says the same thing, did you know, in his letter? He says, abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, he says, the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the spirit. These are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. And so we have to fight as Christians. I want to ask you, do you get discouraged when that happens? A lot of Christians are like, man, I've been a Christian for so long, I should be like perfect by now. And yet, even after years going to church and years of being a Christian, I still have pride. I still have cravings after the pleasures of this life. I still delight and want to go after the fun, evil things of this world, and I have lusts. Man, I should be so past that by now. And so you feel very bad because you're still fighting. God's word to you in this fight is this, that you have to fight with your old nature is not evidence that you're not saved. It's evidence that you are. Because the Christians always are fighting that old nature until we die. It just lingers around. It's not in charge, but it wants to get to the throne again. And we have to continually defeat it and beat it and win. So you will win this battle. So let's put a number one up here. Look at that. First place, prize, blue ribbon. You're going to beat the old nature. How do we do that, though? Well, it's pretty clear in Scripture. It says in Romans 13, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. What is this old nature, the evil side of yourself, which we all have, want from you? Feed me. Give me the things of this world, the lusts of it. Let me look at it with my eyes. Look at it and hear it with my ears and meditate on it with my mind and walk in those ways. And you know what? If you feed your old nature and let it eat some food and drink it, it gets revived very fast and regains its strength. What do we need to do as Christians? Is we need to starve it out. Don't give it anything to eat. Don't give it anything to drink. Don't feed it with the pleasures of this life, and instead feed the new nature. How do you feed the new nature? Scripture, the Word, Christian company like you're in here, thoughts on God, glorious music that lifts your soul up to heroic thoughts, to inspiration, for virtue, for a knightly life, a godly life, and everything that builds up the new man, and don't feed the old. Now, in passing, I just want to say, this is one of the big battles that's fought today, this phone. Because I'd say, of this, maybe 5% of it can be used for building up the new nature. You can listen to scriptures, you can look up some heroic things, but 95% of it generally is going to try to feed this one. If we surf this thing unconsciously, pretty soon this one's going to get all kinds of, oh, that tastes good, and re-strengthening. Never forget, you ever had an iPhone? Anybody have an iPhone? Okay, don't ever forget to look on the back and see what is the picture? An apple with a piece bitten out of it. What's that remind you of? Forbidden fruit. Do you think that that was an accident?
No.
Do you know that Steve Jobs, who created the Apple computer, his first computer he sold for $666.66, was that an accident? So you can use this for good. I'm not saying you can't. But just beware. You want to feed the new and starve out the old, and God will give you the victory over it. And whenever this guy does hit you through your armor and wounds you with his sword and gets strong, what should you do? Repent. God's given us a great way to be healed of every wound. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, God is, to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll just wipe and cancel that out. He'll heal the wound and make you strong again. Repent and come to me. The righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. This is the promise of the Lord, that in the end you get the victory. And especially keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the gospel. That's what the new man needs. Paul, when he says, the evil nature is fighting against my new one, and it keeps trying to get me. He says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Where does he look? He says, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the old nature was defeated to begin with by the gospel, and it continually gets defeated by the gospel. So keep your eyes on Jesus. So that's enemy number one, and guess what? God says, you win that one. I'll make sure by the resurrection power that is within you. What's the second thing we have to fight? Our second great adversary is, there's a picture of the world. All right, and so we have to fight the world. What does Jesus say in John 15? He tells us this. He says, the world, do not be wonder that the world hates you, because it hated me first. If it hates me, it's going to hate you also. If it kept my word, it'll keep yours also. But the world is going to come against you. What does the world want to do? The world is going to, again, a company of unbelievers is going to throw advertisements, commercials at you, old company saying, come on over here. It's so much more fun just following after the lust of the flesh. It's so much more fun building your own empire. Why are you struggling and fighting so? Come back where it's easy. Live our lives with us. It's the temptation for us to turn back to the world. Are you going to do that? It's the temptation of all of Scripture. You know, when Israel got saved out of Egypt, they were tempted to go back to Egypt on their way to the promised land. Don't turn back. Remember, Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was to look straight before him, but instead, his wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian came out of the city of destruction and was heading to the celestial city, and he was always tempted, come back, come back, come back with us. Throw in your lot here. Why endure this hard struggle and journey of the Christian? We'll give you comfort and a home here. Never believe that. Jesus says, if you put your hand to the plow to get to here and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. So if the world is drawing you back, what do you need over here to be strong and to win? Well, you need Christian company. Where are you today? Church, that's a good place to be, isn't it? Because what does the new nature need? It doesn't need the old company. You can hang out with them and witness to them and bless them, but what the new nature needs is Christian company. Other pilgrims, other knights in shining armor on the same quest to reach the kingdom. And that's where you are today. What does your new nature get here in church? Baptism, the remembrance of it in baptism, the Lord's Supper, confession and absolution, the preaching of the word, the preaching of Jesus Christ, and the camaraderie and encouragement of the great ranks of the redeemed, a troop of soldiers to encourage each other. So what God says is, as you're going here, don't skip church. So many people have skipped it for one Sunday, a Sunday when I prepared a whole message hoping to hit some people, and they slept in. Come to church, because here is where the new nature gets the victory. And what do we read in Scripture? Jesus says, you will get the victory, because in church, your eyes are trained upon the kingdom. You go up under the mountains and look far off, and you can say, I see the city to which I'm running. And it inspires you to run the better. And he who is in you, Jesus Christ, is greater than he who is in the world. And so he says, I'll protect you from the world. And 1 John 5, John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So it's the second enemy to be destroyed that we need to conquer on our way to the kingdom. Move this over slightly. Is, first prize, blue ribbon again. It is faith and in the company of the saints. So are we done? You'll know when the sermon's done when this is filled up, okay? So, the next one that we have to fight is, of course, the devil. And you knew it, right? We have a picture here of Prince Philip fighting in that old Disney show, but look at the dragon there. This is a fierce enemy. This is the one behind all the evil in the world. And the scripture actually calls him in Revelation 12 in the Greek, drakon, the dragon. He's got 7 heads, 10 horns. His tail sweeps down a third of the stars of heaven. Other angels, he causes them to commit treason against God and become demons. He is fierce. He's sort of like Godzilla. You know, if you've seen that old movie, or he's Leviathan of the book of Job, where round about his teeth is terror, he breathes fire, and he is king over all the sons of pride. How are you going to fight against the devil and win? Well, the way we do it is, again, through the Word of God, through the Scriptures, through the Lord's Supper, through the company of the saints, and wearing what? What do you wear? The armor of light. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the equipment of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, with all prayer. Do you know, if you read the Scriptures in the New Testament, that's your armor? Do you know whose it really is? Go back to Isaiah. That's God's own armor. The king himself says, here, use my shield, use my helmet, use my sword, and go into fight, for only Excalibur, my sword, can defeat this devil. How does Jesus beat the devil, our king, when he fought the devil in the wilderness? He simply said these words, it is written, it is written, it is written. The word, the Scriptures alone, the word. And that's why we as Christians are called to take up this word and say the same and slay the dragon with the word of God. So dwell richly in the word of God. And what's that going to look like for you? Look at this picture. Remember this one? Prince Philip backed into the corner of the edge of a precipice, the dragon after him. When all hope seems lost, he remembers the sword of truth, throws it, pierces the heart of the dragon, and down he goes. For Revelation 12 says that they, the saints, conquer the devil by the word of God and by their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. And so what are we going to put up above this one? Another blue ribbon. For resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And he who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You conquer by the resurrection power that's already at work in you, O night, giving you victory over the world, slaying the dragon. It's Jesus Christ, his spirit, which is in you, that conquers the dread enemy. And so what we want to see today is, in a dark and evil age, there is power inside of you. But we got to use it and feed it with all the good things of God, as indeed you do. Should we be afraid, though, in all these battles? No. Why? Number one, you are born warriors. When you're born again in Jesus Christ, you're made to look like the king himself. You have his own nature, and frankly, I'll tell you, he loves to fight. He is the king. He's a god of war. You're more than conquerors through him who loved you in Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. And secondly, we're not afraid of this battle because, frankly, it's short. Pretty soon, we're going to get to the end of the fight and come to the kingdom. And what's the prize before you there? The Bible says, when you've done all and done all to win, you are going to see the king with your own eyes in all of his majesty. Your eyes shall behold the king, and he shall look upon you and say, my son, come. And he'll say, inherit the kingdom, my kingdom, which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You'll say, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's laid up for me a crown of glory, which the righteous judge will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And so run the good race of the faith, O Christians. You're doing great, but there's resurrection power in you. And say with me today, I forget what lies behind, all my sins and past, and I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Living with Resurrection Power in an Evil Age. a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
Streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.